Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the PW Torch Livecast. I am Wade Keller, editor and publisher of the Pro Wrestling Torch weekly newsletter since 1987, back when Ronald Reagan was president. And I'm host of this, the PW Torch Livecast. It is Monday, April 24th, 2017. It is just moments after Monday Night Raw went off the air. Do not trust Bray Wyatt. If Bray Wyatt offers to be your partner, even if the odds are stacked against you, don't do it. It's not worth it. Don't do it. Bray Wyatt taking out both Jericho and Dean Ambrose, and then taking out The Miz in the main event. Bray, the mystery partner for Miz, after Miz was complaining about how to Kurt Angle, how Dean Ambrose and Chris Jericho treated him, Kurt Angle said, well, you can have a tag match. But you have to find a partner or wrestle alone. Bray didn't come out right away. And then Bray came out mid-match and helped Miz for a while. And then things didn't go so well for him. So that was the big show closing angle. Otherwise, we had a lot of hype for Payback. Braun and Roman Reigns was a big part of the hype of the program, music videos, special looks, I guess is a better way to put it, for both of them. And I thought a pretty well-executed Braun Strowman-Kalisto dumpster match with Kalisto coming out victorious, just like James Ellsworth beat AJ Styles. Actually, no. Kalisto earned it more, given the match stipulations against Braun Strowman, knocking, drop-kicking an unsuspecting Braun Strowman's legs off the ring apron, and Strowman landed at the dumpster. But Kalisto paid a price, and he is in a hospital right now with hip and clavicle injuries. So, you don't want to beat Braun Strowman. It just makes him more mad. Let that be a lesson to you, Roman Reigns. Anyway, let's talk about this show. Give us a call, 515-605-9345. 515-605-9345. And when I say, let's talk about this show, that includes my co-host today, Pat McNeil. Pat, welcome back to the livecast. Is this you, Pat? Hello, Pat. All right. Well, that didn't look like, that's not Pat. All right. Let's find Pat on the switchboard here. This could be Pat. Pat, is this you?
Thank you, Wade. Yeah,
hello,
absolutely.
You people. Yeah. Welcome to the show. What stood out to you on tonight's show, Pat? What'd you like? What did you like? What's the story of the show?
Well, let's see. Seth Rollins has a new finisher. That was good.
True, yeah.
We still have no idea what a House of Horrors match is. I'm willing to just do an Inferno match. You already have the little burners set up around the ring. You know, you've used fire throughout this whole feud. I mean, that's fine. Just do something. Don't, you know. Or bring back the Chamber of Horrors. I mean, you made fun of it for 25 years, but why not?
Yes.
And
yeah, I kind of like
there
to be I would be all for an electric chair being in the middle of the ring, Pat.
Yes, absolutely.
Yep. Maybe a cameo from Abdullah the Butcher, too.
Well, I mean, I'm sure he's available, you know. That would be great.
Probably, yeah.
I think the other takeaway is we don't know if Enzo Amore is too injured to work on the kickoff show on Sunday.
Well, they did announce a big kickoff show, Finn Balor versus The Miz.
No,
what?
Actually, no.
What?
It's Finn Balor being interviewed by The Miz.
Oh, really? Oh, shoot. Okay. Well, then I'm actually more in favor of that, because when I saw the graphic on the screen, I thought, wait a second, that's giving away a match pretty prestigious. So I was going to complain about that later, but I'm glad you corrected me on that. So go ahead, Pat.
Yeah. Yeah, it does sort of emphasize the point that Dean Ambrose isn't defending the Intercontinental title on Sunday.
Oh, yeah. Yep, that's true. All right, well, good. Well, Pat, I want to give the phone numbers out again and get the callers right away, and we'll let them kind of lead the discussion today. 515-605-9345. Tomorrow, I'll host the SmackDown post show. As soon as SmackDown's off the air, I'll be on the air here at PWTorchLivecast.com. Wednesday, Jason Powell from ProWrestling.net joins me for the midweek flagship. And we certainly welcome you to start sending in email questions for Jason and me, pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. And then Thursday, Interview Thursday, my longtime good friend, wrestling announcer, and he's worn so many hats, but Mick Karsh will be back with me for the first time in a long time. I've been trying to get him back on the show. You don't even have to know who Mick is. Many of you do. Some of the newer listeners may not. But Mick did announcing for the AWA on ESPN in the 1980s. He ran, before that, the Nick Bockwinkel Fan Club, did a really, really good fan club bulletin before there were insider wrestling newsletters like the Torch and Observer and Matt Watch and Wrestling Forum in the 80s. There were fan club bulletins, and Mick brought an edge to his commentary back in the day before it was cool. And Mick will be on the show with me. He's still very active. He's one of my favorite wrestling announcers because he gets the job of the play-by-play guy. We'll talk to him about that. The art of announcing. He does a lot of indie wrestling announcing still in this area, and he follows wrestling super closely still. And so we'll talk current events with him, talk about some funny indie stories. Maybe we'll delve into the difference between a prank and bullying, which seems to be a debate going on in the wrestling industry these days. Yes. And so much more. So join us. It's always a really good show when Mick Karsh is on the show and we can get him corralled for an hour or so. So join us Thursday at 1 Eastern. It'll be an extension of delving into current events along with some very funny stories with Mick Karsh, who is a super entertaining guest on this program. All right, well, good. Let's, kind of laying the groundwork there. Pat, did you want to interject something before we go to calls?
Well, as to your question, is the difference between a prank and bullying? If yes. You can be indicted for it, it's bullying. It's not a prank.
I would say that if it drives somebody out of the company or just makes somebody feel threatened and feel like crap, that goes beyond a prank. But hey. Toughen up, everybody, right? Everyone's got it. As Cody Rhodes said, the business isn't for everybody. Well, yeah, but maybe the business can be less of a dick, and then maybe more people can be in it and not be miserable. But anyway.
If you can't remember whether it's a felony or a misdemeanor, it's not a prank.
Thanks, Pat. Yes. All right. So 515-605-9345 is our phone number, pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. That's pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com if you want to drop us an email if you can't join the show live. But let's go to our first caller of the day. We have somebody in, it looks like in Tennessee, and I believe this is Sean from Murfreesboro. Sean, you're first up today. Thanks for calling.
Wait, thanks for taking my call. How are you guys doing tonight?
Doing good. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, good to hear you guys too. I had three things, Wade. Do you want me to do one at a time tonight, or do you want me to do?
Yeah,
how do you
one
want
at a time.
That?
Yeah, let's do one at a time.
Okay, cool.
It's always
yeah, cool. That's one. Yeah. The first was, I kind of wanted to say, but I want to hear what you guys thought. The packages for Braun and Roman were really good. I mean, I like the way they did, like you said, the Braun Kalisto. Have Kalisto win, Braun just get madder and do all the stuff he did was really cool, but. I mean, it's just the more you watch and the more you see, you know, with Roman not being there, you know, to keep obviously doing all the, you know, keeping the injury, like, oh, I'm hurt real bad, you know, but to try to put him, I mean, it's just like, I don't even know what to think. Like, obviously they're going to have Roman win the match, obviously, because Vince is just so set on having this guy do what he's going to do and try to get him over as much as he can. Like, I mean, are you still, I mean, well, first, do you think, you know, he will win the match? And second, like, I mean, I just feel like even when Roman, I still feel like when Roman wins the match, even though he's already beaten Braun once, so it's not like a big surprise he's going to beat him because he's already beaten him one time. But, like, do you think it's kind of almost, how do you feel that he's going to go to the depths with him? Like, what do you just feel about the whole thing as a whole? I mean, that's what I'm trying to get to. How do you Are you cool with what they're
we're
doing?
Just letting you hang yourself out here and struggle to come up with that
rounded
off question. We're just, you're doing great. Sorry. I would have interrupted by now, but it's sort of getting entertaining as you're, because I've been there too, where you have something you're trying to form into a question, and then it just turns into 45 seconds of a struggle. So I've been
exactly.
there.
Exactly.
Yes.
Now Wade knows why I kept those sound effects on the board. I'm just waiting for out anyway.
Pat, your response to that eloquent, concise, to the point question from Sean.
All right. Well, there is a matter of debate, because there is a lot of speculation that since they're not going to do Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar right away, and Brock technically is the WWE champion, although they haven't mentioned it for a month, that they're going to do Lesnar versus Braun Strowman maybe in June at Extreme Rules, and if they do that, then it would make sense to have Strowman beat Roman. So I mean, consider that. It's a possibility. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I tell you what, Braun is being put over in a way that I think has now gone beyond being a setup guy to try to get Reigns over. I don't think, I watched the entire Hulkamania era of Vince McMahon's promoting and in real time. And Pat, you did too. It was build up a heel, send him to the house shows, leg drop, he's over. Moves down to the mid card. New heel gets built up. He does something dastardly and vicious. Takes on Hulk. Hulk leg drops him. It's over. Back to the mid card. That's not what's happening with Strowman. That is, I think, the initial vision for Strowman versus Reigns. Strowman's getting over. Strowman is good at what he does as a big man. I thought he was really good in the Kalisto match. I thought it was a good spirited try to turn the crowd against him. He can take some notes from Alexa Bliss on how to do that, though. But I mean, Braun was good and trying to stop some of the cheers and the anti-Roman chants. And yeah, I think they're going to, I mean, for better or for worse, I think we're not going to see a decisive finish. I will be pretty surprised, Pat, if Reigns wins with a Superman punch and a spear or some, you know, combination of signature moves, bang, 1, 2, 3, for all kinds of reasons, including Braun versus Lesnar perhaps being on the docket.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, it is the main event of a pay-per-view, technically, but I'd be surprised if Roman won this one also, because you know Roman, I think he's beaten Strowman before on pay-per-view. Even it doesn't make sense to just have him do it again. I mean, I think they're going to continue this. They especially need something for Roman to do if Brock Lesnar's not going to be around for a while.
All right, Sean. Do you have your thoughts gathered for question number 2? You have 15 seconds or less, or we're going to just do what we can with it.
No, I'll do my best this time.
Right,
no,
good.
With Alexa and Bailey, I like what
Sean,
Alexa
Sean,
did.
Hold on, Sean. Sean, would you consider Pat and I what we're doing a prank or bullying? As we're kind of picking on you, piling on here.
Definitely a prank, and I enjoy the prank. It's actually
okay,
really
good,
funny.
Good.
So
I want to be sure. All right.
Yeah, no, that was funny. I enjoyed it. No, Alexa was good tonight. What did you think about after the match was over when Sasha got the count out and then Bayley comes out and interrogates, you know, basically throws Alexa, you know, and starts touching her. And it's like, why is, like, Bayley, leave her alone. Like, why are you to have her getting in there and messing with Alexa and then have Alexa obviously want to hit her from behind? Where do you think they're going with the match at Payback? Do you think they're going to have Alexa just win clean, or do you think Bayley's going to still win, but then Sasha just either get Bayley or get Alexa the win by disqualification, and then have Sasha and Bayley, you know, for the title for the next pay-per-view? Like, where do you think that's going? And what did you think of the segment tonight in general? Like, what did you think of it?
Sure, yeah. Pat, go ahead first. Your thoughts on the women's segment. I thought Bliss was really good.
Yes, she was. I hesitate to predict exactly where the Raw women's division is going just based on the last 12 months. I think the money, though, is in Bayley wins and keeps holding the belt and keeps holding the belt until it's time for Sasha Banks to go after it. And they have their nice, you know, ladylike match, and then at one point until Sasha turns on her. I mean, I think that's where the money is. So I think anything that interferes with that is going to be a problem. I expect, and it's in Bayley's hometown. Normally that would mean Bayley loses, but, you know, I'd say Bayley wins.
Yeah, I think Bayley will too. I think that Alexa just egged on the idea of it being her hometown and humiliating her in front of her father and her friends and family. And I think Vince will, especially depending on what they do in the main event and how that goes, we might get a clean, decisive Bayley win over Bliss, and then Bliss just gets her heat back in a different way, because I think Bliss is a gifted talker and doing a great job on the mic. I could see WWE now taking her for granted a bit, even as an undersized heel, that she can talk her way back into a credible rematch, even if she loses somewhat clean. But there's the X factor of you know, Sasha Banks, and do they have her get involved in some way to kind of plant some seeds for down the line where she helps Bayley retain her title again, and Bayley takes exception and Bliss puts up a big stink and we get another match. So, yeah, I mean, it could go a number of ways. But I like the segment, but, I mean, it's, from a talking standpoint, Bliss is setting the standard in the women's division. Go ahead, Sean.
Yes.
Yeah. No, I agree. She's awesome. Whatever they do, I'm excited to see what she's going to do in the future. The disappointing part was just Bayley when she comes out now. You know, you just don't hear the cheers that you would have heard because the character's just been such a mess the last, you know, 4 months. But anyway, the third thing was, I mean, what did you think? Because obviously, I don't see how, again, Bray can win, you know, the match at Payback, because obviously, I'm assuming they want to keep the opposite title on SmackDown. But, like, where do you think, what did you think of the segment tonight? It seemed just kind of confusing because, I mean, I like what Bray did at the end. It was kind of neat. But, like, where do you think that's going? Like, where do you guys think that's kind of headed? And that's really, that was the main last point I had, guys. Thank you for taking my call. Appreciate it.
Sure thing. Obviously, yeah. Thanks. Excuse me. Thank you. Go ahead, Pat. You can go first.
Well, that was more of a question than a point, but okay, we'll go with that. I, you know, based on what happened tonight, I suspect that they're gonna go to that Bray loses and they go back to Dean Ambrose and Bray Wyatt, because it sure seems like they're getting ready to do Finn Balor and The Miz. I mean, otherwise I would think,
yeah,
that and they've done Ambrose and Miz recently, and they haven't done Ambrose and Wyatt for a little while.
What did you think, Pat, of the angle with Bray at the end and kind of having Miz be very excited to have Bray as a partner, but then have Bray not show up on time for work, and then when he did show up, end up turning on Miz? Does this make Miz look bad? Does it put heat on Bray?
Heat on Bray. I mean, logically, there's no reason for Bray to turn on Miz, but, you know, in WWE logic, well, it's Miz, everybody hates him. You know, let's, his character is really annoying. Let's have Bray put him down. Or maybe they wanted to end the show with Bray and Miz, you know, raising their arms together and cut it off there, and then let Bray beat up Miz after the match so the people can go home happy. I don't know.
Yeah. All right. Well, very good. Thanks, Sean, for kicking off the show. We'll take some more calls when we get back from our first commercial break. If you're like me, you've got a list of your favorite podcasts that you listen to throughout the week, and also your favorite websites that you listen to throughout the week, but they don't always overlap. But in the case of PW Torch, they do. We hope not only will you listen to the PW Torch livecast every day, but also visit pwtorch.com every day for the latest insider perspective, breaking news, TV reports, live event reports, live pay-per-view coverage, exclusive editorials, and a wide range of other features. Check it out every day. It's mobile-friendly, desktop and laptop-friendly. Stay up to the minute, stay up to date with pwtorch.com. We are back. If you have not bought your PW Torch Livecast t-shirt yet, you can check out the designs and the colors and the logos at pwtorchtees.com. That's pwtorchtees.com. Or just click the PW Torch t-shirt link on the red menu strip above our logo at pwtorch.com. That's PW Torch Tees. There's two different PW Torch Livecast t-shirts and our main logo and a VIP shirt also. So check them out. If you haven't got yours yet, get yours now. All right. I'm Wade Keller, joined by Pat McNeil, and we are discussing tonight's episode of Monday Night Raw. And up next is Chris in New York. Chris, what's on your mind tonight?
Hey, guys. How you going? How you doing?
Good. Thanks for calling.
I thought the show tonight was pretty good. I didn't think it was the best. It was pretty pedestrian. The comedy segments that they had tonight, I thought they did a little bit too much. I don't think they furthered any of the feuds at all. using the comedy. You know, they did the backstage, or the matches for that matter. They did the backstage segment with Jericho and Ambrose, which was it's just pointless. I think that was unnecessary. But overall, I thought the show was all right. Are you guys about to say something?
Yep.
So that the opening, I thought was. What did you guys think of that opening? Because when they thought that that was gonna get like a good pop or keep the viewers in, but I thought the opening was pretty bad. I don't understand what's the importance of each of those three guys' talk shows and why they thought that made sense to have them do the segment like that. What do you guys think of the first segment?
Sure. Yeah, I wasn't quite sure what to make of it either. I mean, it was there to set up the main event. So, you know, they had a segment to set up the main event. They had some star power, Pats, that I don't think they knew what to do with Jericho. You know, everybody kind of had something to talk about. They wanted to set up the main event. They thought it might be kind of fun chemistry to get all three out there with three different talk shows interacting. I mean, I thought it was fine. I think it's okay to have a segment that's not, you know, going to be remembered a year from now, but more than adequately filled TV time with three personalities that all together aren't normally interacting, throwing Maurice too. Pat, your thoughts on what they aim to do and what they accomplished?
Well, let's see. They have a pay-per-view coming up on Sunday. Three of the guys that are in major matches on this pay-per-view, Roman Reigns, Kevin Owens, and Randy Orton, aren't there on Raw. So they needed something. So they put together the three guys with talk shows, and they had Bray Wyatt, who they didn't really know what to do with either. So he basically did a run-in, and you know, you could say that didn't need to happen. Well, it didn't, except they have 3 hours and 15 minutes to fill, and they darn sure aren't going to fill it with wrestling matches. So they've got to do comedy.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good point. I mean, it's this awkward. We're still in this kind of superstar shake transition. And it's even kind of hard. I get house show reports, and I'm like, is this a SmackDown house show or a Raw house show? And I've got to, like, look at all the names and see that some guys are still crossing over, and that's how this feels right now. So I think, yeah, it was kind of an awkward night. I agree with the notion that this was a pedestrian show, Chris. I mean, it felt like it was – I wasn't angry watching it. I didn't think it was something that's going to be a real driver of conversation this week, but – I mean, I was entertained. I wasn't really bored during the show. So I guess, I mean, that's good. I wasn't angry. I wasn't bored. It kind of went by swiftly enough. But yeah, I mean, it just was sort of a mid-level, decent show that didn't have access to some of the names that would normally fill out a show 6 days before pay-per-view. Chris, what else?
I thought post the shakeup, we would see about a month, maybe a month and a half, 2 months of really good television, really good Raw and SmackDowns, because everybody would be getting reintroduced on their different brands. You know, there'd be people debuting and whatnot. And now it's just sort of like confusing. They can't really do much with anybody because the people who are going to be in the next Raw pay-per-view are on SmackDown. And I know that I think Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton, that's not even for the world title anymore. It's just a House of Horrors match. They took the title out of that.
It's not clear. I'm looking here. I don't see where they said title match on it. So that's possible. So let me check the WWE website.
As you look, Pat, I will comment that we barely knew it was for the title at WrestleMania because they didn't talk about
that's
it.
True.
They couldn't be bothered to talk about the championship. So I haven't heard either way. Is that something that was just definitively like somebody reported, Chris, or was that more your observation just seeing that they haven't talked about it?
Yeah, they haven't talked about it, and they named Jinder the number one contender.
Yeah.
So we thought Bray was the number one contender, and it's not a triple threat match, a payback, so I just figured it wasn't for the title anymore.
Yeah, I guess they could name him a number one contender, with the idea being he faces the winner of the obligatory rematch between Bray and Randy. I mean, that could be one way they approach it. Patty, you seeing anything?
I'm on there. Let's see. I'm on the website, and
you got distracted reading that Roman interview, didn't you?
No, I actually did not.
Finding anything on that website is very difficult. It is not the most intuitive website.
Yeah, I'm looking at this, and it doesn't say anything about it being for the title. It's just a House of Horrors match.
That'll teach us to assume anything, won't it, Chris?
Yeah, well, it's very, very odd. They didn't plan this whole thing out well, it seems. I think it was just like a spur of the moment type thing. Because I know the grand split, they planned months in ahead. And it seems like this thing, they didn't really plan much at all.
Well, the brand split happened before SummerSlam, so they didn't have to worry about. Well, or was there? No, there was a pay per view between a brand split.
Yes,
pay per view. Yeah. Never mind on that point. I mean, I'm with you. It feels like a mess. It feels sort of we're just in this kind of in between transition stage, and I'm eager to get past it. I'm ready for everyone to fall into their onto their respective brand and everyone to pair off. It's like. You know, the music is playing and people are trying to pair off, and it's a little bit chaotic right now.
There were two guys tonight on Raw who I think have been bright spots on Monday Night Raw for the last couple of weeks, and that was Samoa Joe and Austin Aries. And I know a lot of people have been critical of how they're portraying Samoa Joe, but I think they've been doing a phenomenal job with him. I think he's been protected. I think he's still – they haven't ruined him yet. It seems like they go a little bit too far with new debuting talent I don't think they've done that with Joe. But with Austin, we've been seeing a lot of like comedy, like hokey pokey stuff with him, with the dancing and the segment he had backstage tonight. And I think a lot of people are used to seeing him play like a super serious type character. Would you see their direction with Austin going forward? Do you think that they're going to take those elements away from his character, or do you think that it was just like this is one of those things where he's a part of Raw, so now he has to deal with some of this the scripted nature of the business of the WWE?
Pat, your thoughts?
He's a cruiserweight, so Vince doesn't care. So they're trying to keep and the people who do care about the cruiserweight division are trying to keep it that way.
What do you think?
Yeah, if he can do comedy, that's probably seen as a bonus for him, as a reason to if he can fill a couple minutes with him, you know, more because he has some improbability, then you do it because it's 3 hours and 15 minutes every week.
That's the thing, Chris, and Pat makes a good point. And kind of where I was headed is I think what they do is Vince, when he's dealing with a new toy, there might be a certain first impression he has, and then they start. And then the priority becomes how can he fill television time in a way that is entertaining, where we don't have to feel like we're just working really, really hard to come up with something for him. And, you know, like, I don't think Mickie James has found that yet, for instance. You know, obviously he worked with her before. But I think when a wrestler shows up something as Alexa Bliss did tonight, as AJ Styles did early on, even Vince just goes, all right, that's what we want to do that with them. Happened with Dean Ambrose. He showed a certain slice of what he can do in the Shield. And then when he started to show this other aspect to his personality, Vince ran with it. Same thing happened with Kurt Angle 15 years ago, more than 15. There comes a point where Vince is like, that's what we're going to write to, that slice of their personality or that aspect of it. And I think Aries in his career has played serious most of the time. But are you surprised at all at how he's being utilized in WWE at this point in terms of the aspects of his personality and skill set, not in the ring, but in terms of hyping himself on color commentary with his wit and his promos of building himself up? Anything surprise you, and what do you think his strengths are so far?
Not really, because we've seen him do it in TNA when he was Austin Starr and doing all that stuff with Nash, and you know, saw break out a little bit of his personality in Evolve and Ring of Honor, and we've heard him. You know, if you've watched 205 Live, you know that he can think on his feet. I mean, back when he was doing color commentary, anyway.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's like with Bliss, whether it was scripted or not, it didn't feel scripted with Bliss. I mean, and certainly parts of it weren't. I mean, she's good off the cuff, and Aries is. I mean, Aries believes in himself. Or at least comes across that way. Maybe he's super insecure behind the scenes. It doesn't matter. What matters is what do we see on television. This is a guy who's sure of himself, and that's so important. And when you have that plus a quick wit, and you also – and it's – I don't think Aries – there's a few times that Aries on color commentary said some things, and I was like, oh, man, I don't think Viz is going to like that. But I think in the end, sort of like Damian Sandow was saying this week on – I think it was X-Pac 12360 – by the way, get highlights of all wrestler and wrestling personality hosted podcasts over at our sister site, pwpodcasts.com. Some really good quotes and detailed summaries of podcasts and wrestler interviews every day. And he was talking about how, you know, he improvised a little bit as Mizdow, and Vince ended up liking it and telling him to roll with it. So as much as a show's scripted, if you gamble and break script and you say something or do something that Vince likes, Vince will embrace it. He's not stubborn in that way.
The last thing I wanted to bring up before I get off is Cesaro tonight. He looked like they were teasing some sort of a heel turn with Cesaro, and that after the one-on-one match with Sheamus and Matt Hardy, which I think is so needed. Cesaro, he makes a really horrible babyface, even a tag team or as a singles character. He's just really, really bad at that. And I think that a heel turn could really do him some good. He's always done his best work as a heel. Do you think that's where they're going with him? Do you think that was like a subtle heel turn, or do you think it was just, you know, nothing important?
Cesaro Pat sort of comes across as a lovable goofball, kind of corny as a babyface. I wonder if he's gotten to a point where Vince would believe in him, and he has kind of found his voice as a character, as a heel, that would do him more good. Well, first of all, read the tea leaves. What do you see is happening here with Sheamus wanting a handshake and Cesaro at first being resistant to it, and where are we headed on Sunday with them, and what's Cesaro's future?
Well, I think that the tea leaves say that they just spent a good deal of money to bring in one of the top babyface teams in the world, and they didn't add any heel teams, so they're going to need somebody to switch sides. And right now, Cesaro and Sheamus, I wouldn't be a bit surprised. Yeah, well, the Revival, Dash is injured, so
yeah,
there's no Revival at the moment.
Yeah, that's the thing. With Revival, you know, Dash being hurt, it does kind of maybe instigate or accelerate some plans that might take Cesaro and Sheamus in a different direction, which is weird if that happens. It could break Cesaro and Sheamus up, but I don't think people want to see Sheamus as a babyface against a heel Cesaro. So I think it's more likely the good sportsmanship. Can you imagine a best of seven series? That'd be totally trolling. But I think maybe Sheamus is teasing being a good sport, but ultimately they end up turning on the Hardys to get, you know, a feud for a month or two out of that. I'm not against that. I mean, sometimes when you're at the position on a card that Sheamus and Cesaro are, you're utility guys and you go where you're needed. And like you said, Pat, right now the Hardys need a heel tag team to go against, depending on, you know, what their plans are for Anderson and Gallows.
Yeah. And they're having good matches. So it's not like you have to switch out of that feud.
Right. Yeah. Yep. Chris, thanks. Any follow up or anything?
No, that was all. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Cool. Appreciate it. Good topics. All right. We'll go to our next break. And when we come back, more calls. 515-605-9345. 15-plus year Torch columnist Pat McNeil is my guest co-host. I'm Wade Keller, editor of PWTorch.com, MMATorch.com, and PWPodcasts.com. Here's some word on MMA Torch. We know you're a pro wrestling fan because you're listening to the PW Torch livecast. There's a good chance you're also a fan of the UFC and all of mixed martial arts. And if so, we hope you'll check out our sister website at MMATorch.com, covering the news of MMA every single day with breaking news, exclusive analysis, an array of columns, live event coverage, flashbacks, and so much more. Check it out. That's MMATorch.com, or download the free MMA Torch app in the iPhone and Android app stores. That's MMATorch.com. If you're not a PW Torch VIP member, check out details at PWTorch.com/GoVIP. Nearly 30 years of archives of the Torch's coverage of pro wrestling, my reviews of almost every pay-per-view match, star ratings, 1 to 10 score reviews for me and the Torch team, and cover stories, over 1,500 cover stories, biggest story of the week, dating back to the late 1980s, all in PDF or all text format, in many cases both. The VIP website is ad-free, so you get everything that you get on the regular PW Torch site, but ad-free, along with exclusive bonus content, including exclusive columns from the Torch staff, and post-pay-per-view written roundtable reviews from the Torch staff. And it is mobile-friendly. We got a great ad-free version of PWTorchVIP.com for your mobile phone. And on top of all that, The live cast goes ad-free, and the plugs are edited out also, so it's a more streamlined experience there. Oh, yeah, and over a dozen VIP-exclusive podcasts per week in addition to the daily live cast. So check out more on what comes with the VIP membership at pwtorch.com/govip. There's testimonials at the bottom of that page that can give you more of an idea from actual members, why they became members and why they think you should too. That's pwtorch.com/govip. And we're now going back to the phone lines. Pat McNeil, as I said, is my co-host on today's program. And we'll go next to, let's see who is up next. Let's go to... Well, someone dropped off, so now I'm all messed up. Let's scroll to the next caller and go to Cody in Thibodeau, Louisiana. Cody, sorry about that. Go ahead. What's on your mind tonight?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing tonight?
Doing good. Good to hear from you guys.
Good.
Yeah, good to hear from y'all, too. I just really had one nitpick about the show.
Sure.
I think it was a... you know, somewhat solid show again tonight. I think the past few weeks they've been doing a good job of being consistent with their shows. But I wasn't a fan of how they put Kalisto over in the dumpster match. Because I think that, you know, if you're going to build strong up for the pay-per-view, that they continue to be consistent in having them win all these matches and doing all these things. And I get that having Braun Strowman completely destroyed Kalisto after the match was great, but I think they still could have gone with that even after he won, like maybe by taking him out of the dumpster and then completely demolishing them before tipping over the dumpster. But which of the two outcomes do y'all think would have been better to keep it like it was tonight, or to have him go over on another opponent again tonight like he's been doing?
It's a good question. I'm glad you brought it up, Cody. I was kind of thinking about that too. Pat, your thoughts. Does Braun get hurt by losing this match in that way and not just destroying and overpowering Kalisto? Does giving Kalisto show some fighting spirit and a couple blows that kind of angered Braun and led to a little bit more of a beating before Braun, you know, attempted to throw him over and into the dumpster? Does that serve any purpose, or should Braun have just dominated and won?
Yeah, I don't know if it hurts Braun Strowman to lose that match, because what happened? He ended up in a dumpster that like came up to his waist, you know, when he was standing in the dumpster.
Yeah.
I mean, it was ridiculous. I think it hurts though the idea that the outcome of a Roman Reigns versus Braun Strowman match would matter to anybody, because you know the hype wasn't, oh my goodness, Kalisto beat Braun Strowman, he should be in line for a title shot, they should make the match on Sunday a three-way match with Kalisto versus Strowman versus Reigns. No, that's not what happened. So it was treated as if it was insignificant. The actual victory was insignificant.
Do you let me go back to Cody. Any follow-up from you? I don't want to change topics yet.
Well, I think that if like it would, I just think it would be nice to have Braun have some sort of a winning streak going, to where even if he went up against Roman Reigns, whether he won or lost, it wouldn't necessarily hurt Braun. But also I could definitely see them giving Braun Strowman a good streak to where he could actually go over on Roman Reigns at the pay-per-view, to where they would set up a rubber match at Extreme Rules, possibly with number one contendership on the line or something like that.
Yeah, I think what they're selling Braun Reigns on is Reigns getting his hands on Braun and get revenge. And I don't know that wins and losses is the selling point of this match. So I think in their mind, they're thinking, well, if Kalisto win on a fluke, it gives Kalisto fans a little bit of a ha-ha moment on Braun. It puts Braun over as a sore loser as opposed to just the dominant guy who beats everybody up. Now Braun is more of a heel because he's a sore loser who got humiliated against the much smaller Kalisto. And I think that's probably the psychology that went into doing it that way. The feeling being, we don't talk a lot about wins and losses. We talk about personal issues. And Kalisto just gave Braun a reason for having a personal issue with him, which is embarrassing him. And that led to Braun being more enraged and beating him down. even more. So, I mean, I'm okay with it, but I know what you're saying about having Braun have a winning streak. I just don't know in WWE that the win-loss aspect, I mean, they let, you know, Alexa Bliss get counted out on purpose and didn't really make a big deal out of, well, that's a loss on her record. How embarrassing. It's, they don't really sell things that way. So all in all, I mean, I was okay with it, but I figured there'd be some discussion on it this week, tonight and later on this week, about the pros and cons of it. Ultimately, I do have to say, I mean, I think it's 15% either way. I don't think it's like an 80% decision that just sways the effectiveness of what they did in a big way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it also seems just a bit weird that it's set it on Kalisto when he hasn't really been relevant in the past 2 weeks on Raw or SmackDown.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think they want to get something out of Kalisto. You know, I mean, he's got a ring entrance and elaborate outfit, and, you know, ring getup. And I mean, I think they want to get something out of him. So I don't think they wanted to treat him really bad. And frankly, the way that he just threw him in the trash can, I think they got some pushback for the symbolism of that, or, you know, the just, you know, treating Kalisto like that right after the roster split. So I think maybe giving him a win was a way to redeem themselves a little bit from criticism that maybe they went a little too far with that initial backstage angle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I also had one other thing that I just thought of. A caller a few weeks ago mentioned that the women's division was lacking, and I've been hearing on NXT for the past few weeks that there was going to be like some sort of women's tournament similar to like the UK tournament, the Cruiserweight Classic.
Yeah.
But like, do you think that's something that would help the women's roster on Raw if they would put the women on Raw, or if that's something that they were looking at going to?
Pat, talk about the women's tournament. And I mean, well, I'll, before you do that, Pat, we can't have too many women on each brand because they don't have a whole show full. They don't do house shows with three women's matches. They almost all get grouped into one match, maybe two, a tag match and a singles or a six-pack challenge like they did this weekend. So you're going to, by definition, the way WWE set up, have small women's divisions, because otherwise you have people on television who aren't going to go to house shows because they don't do three, four women's matches per house show. Same thing for pay-per-view. So I think they're accepting the negative that comes along with having a small women's division. And they just have to be kind of careful to drag out the feuds. But Pat, talk about the tournament, and you know, obviously, it's a way to scout for new talent.
Well, yeah, it very much is, and I think that they see it in the same way that they see the Cruiserweight tournament. They, you know, they're bringing in all of these fantastic, you know, they're bringing in the top non-WWE talent from around the world. They're going to pick, you know, which people to get over. And but it's going to end up being like the Cruiserweight division. They'll probably do a women's show like 205 Live, but it's going to be a small section of the available women, and they're going to use that in part to put pressure on the, you know, to put pressure on the women who are already on the roster to make them feel like, hey, you know, you need to step it up if you want to keep your spot.
Yeah, makes sense. Cody, anything else?
Yeah, just one more thing, and I'll let y'all go.
Okay.
I noticed, like, on NXT and 205 Live and shows like that, that there's less focus on the authority figure. We saw a little bit of that with Austin Aries, but even then, it's just that's probably the first time in the Cruiserweight division we've seen any one of those wrestlers on that roster interact with the authority figure. And personally, I think it's a successful. Successful way to go about the, like, some of the storylines, like by excluding those on-screen authority figures. But I mean, is there any way that you see WWE lessen that, especially on Raw and SmackDown, even though Triple H and Stephanie aren't on TV that often? I just wanted to get your thoughts on that. So, but I hope you guys have a great rest of the show.
Great, thanks, Cody. Yeah, I mean, obviously, Pat, the authority gets a lot of TV time. Kurt Angle gets less. I think we're all happy about that. Everybody, I think, is happy with that. We like Kurt, small doses, minimize the authority figure. I mean, it still feels kind of just, I don't know, a little trite the way that they're utilized and coming up with matches on the fly. I mean, shouldn't the GM's job be to not something more, shouldn't more go into planning a show in front of 3, 4, 5 million people if you're in charge of it, then hang it out backstage, hoping that people argue with each other so you can create a match on the fly. It's a little preposterous when you think of it that way. But, yeah, I mean, I don't even like when they bring up with Seth, Hunter, and Stephanie these days. I'm just like, just let Seth break away even from mentioning them. I get there's a little connection there with Joe where they want to tie that loose end a little bit. And I know they did the symbolism of the pedigree and switching off from that, which we haven't talked much about. But, I mean, I'm all for authority figures, the focus being on the wrestlers, not authority figures.
We have gone 4 weeks without Triple H or Stephanie on Raw, and it's been wonderful. I mean, I can deal with short little Kurt Angle segments instead of Triple H and Stephanie. Now, what would be nice is if, like you said, they got away from the idea that you make up the matches during the show while the show's going on, and just if you do these skits, do them to make matches for next week's show, which you haven't written yet, which would also help you set up next week's show to get people to tune in.
Yes, and they do sometimes, more often than I remember in recent memory, announce matches a week ahead of time, and that's good. Mm-hmm. I'd like to see, like you just said, Pat, more of it. I like, because you have a week to think about it with social media, and, yeah. I mean, it's just there's why not take advantage of that and let people discuss the match, think about it, anticipate it, but I think they like to save that for, I mean, I think philosophically, one, Vince books on the fly, and he sort of was forced into it during the Monday Night War era, and he just kind of got addicted to it, and he likes it. And if things are going well enough, they're going to do things that way. That's just the way they are now. They can afford to, as the only significant game in town and the dominant brand. But also, I think they don't want to overhype too many matches ahead of time that don't take place right away, when they're also trying to sell you on the most important matches being the ones that are 2, 3, or 6 days away. 1 week, 2 week, 3 weeks away on the pay-per-view. And they still want the focus in the long run to be on those matches. So philosophically, I think that's why they kind of weigh those two out and go, let's book on the fly for TV and put the focus long-term on the pay-per-view matches. And I mean, I understand that rationale. I think there's a more happy medium, so it doesn't seem like the show is just booked on the fly like it often does.
Yeah, and you can also, I mean, instead of doing all this booking on the fly for that week's show, you can also, you know, book matches for the pay-per-view, which they do sometimes, but, you know, they could probably put more effort into it.
Absolutely, Pat. All right, we're going to go to our next break. When we come back, more phone calls. 515-605-9345. Jason in Australia is on deck.
Do you shop at Amazon.com? If so, do you know there's a way for you to support the PW Torch livecast without doing anything different other than starting your shopping at pwtorch.com/Amazon? When you go to pwtorch.com/Amazon, click on the Amazon link and you land at the Amazon homepage. But anything you buy on that shopping trip, we get a commission for. It's a way to throw a few extra quarters, maybe a couple bucks in the tip jar, as a way to say thanks for what we do here at the PW Torch livecast. So next time you're about to shop at Amazon, don't type in AMAZ. Stop right there and type in pwtorch.com/Amazon. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. A free, easy way to help support what we do here at the livecast. Thank you.
I hope you can join us live tomorrow right after SmackDown ends here at pwtorchlivecast.com. That's how you can find when the next show is going to air or the link to stream our show live or listen to a past show on demand, pwtorchlivecast.com. Wednesday, Jason Powell returns to the livecast for the midweek flagship. Jason Powell, of course, of ProWrestling.net. And then Thursday, Interview Thursday, longtime veteran ring announcer, excuse me, wrestling play-by-play announcer and ring announcer, Mick Karsh, and he's one of my favorite people to talk wrestling with. So join us. It is always a blast with Mick. That'll be for Interview Thursday, 1 Eastern. If you missed last week, Matt McCarthy, ex-WWE creative team member, was my guest, and he was great. Just great conversation. Really went places we didn't expect, thanks to some good calls and emails. We talked about the difference in political correctness in stand-up comedy compared to pro wrestling. Good philosophical talk on that front. And talked about stand-up comedians protecting their characters. You know, kayfabe was never even alive in stand-up comedy. Well, I guess in a way it is. I mean, people tend to believe Dave Chappelle is who Dave Chappelle looks like he is. There's an authenticity to his character. It doesn't mean that he's not in a different place now and isn't just selling himself as that guy now because he can make money doing it. You're not going to know because he's not going to go on social media and tell you any different. And so we talked about the art of protecting your character in stand-up comedy versus pro wrestling. And I thought Matt just did a great job with a real poignant example of Brock Lesnar related to him that you kind of have to hear to the way Matt put it to get the gist of it. So anyway, check that out. That was last Thursday's interview Thursday. You can find the show on iTunes, Stitcher, and anywhere else that you subscribe to podcasts or our homepage, pwtorchlivecast.com. And then the week before that, Justin Roberts, ring announcer, author of Best Seat in the House, which I believe is coming out on audiobook this week. So if you've been holding out for that, Justin messaged and said that he thinks it's coming out. Is it today or tomorrow? It's coming out this week in audio format. So check that out. And he talked about getting bullied in WWE back, you know, 15 or more than 12 years ago, and talked about what it was like to be kind of the center of this storm of controversy with JBL. And then three Thursdays ago, JTG made his first ever appearance on the live cast, formerly of Crime Time, and he talked about his frustration with management behind the scenes and one time tweeting while backstage at Raw, tweeting his frustration with not getting a meeting with management. And he ended up getting that meeting after all, but it was probably a little more tense than it would have been otherwise, had it just been scheduled normally. So good interviews lined up in recent weeks. Check them out when you get a chance. And now back to the phone lines. Pat McNeil, 15 plus year Pro Wrestling Torch columnist and voice here on the live cast on a frequent basis, is my co-host.
Hi.
And hello. And Jason from Australia. Good to hear from you again. What's on your mind tonight, Jason?
Yeah, switchboard is turning.
Oh, there we go.
To you both.
Thank you. Good morning to you. Yep.
Yep. Yeah, beautiful here in Perth, Australia. Look, I just wanted to say, I thought the ideal tag team partner for The Miz, I know he's not a big name per se, but I thought Scott Dawson would have been a great choice. You still could have gone to Bray Wyatt at the end, but, you know, he's a tag team specialist. The announcers could have put him over as that, and Miz has chosen someone that's really ideal for this situation. And then you wouldn't have had that ludicrous situation where you've got a two-on-one, two baby faces against one heel. So I thought that was a missed opportunity to put over Dawson, talk about Wilder, and actually get over the Revival.
You know, Jason, and Pat, you can respond to this too, of course. Having the partner not come out and have Miz, he could even reveal his Bray, but maybe save that element of surprise, and then actually have Dawson come out and go, I'll tag with you. Why didn't you ask me? My partner's injured. They could have then had the two-on-two match. My thinking is Vince McMahon and company just think, you know, people don't know who Scott Dawson is yet, and we don't want him wrestling outside of teaming with Dash, and we're just going to wait that out, you know, at least on television. So maybe, you know, maybe there's some good reasons against it, but it would have removed, as Jason points out, Pat, the ridiculousness that, of course, there's nothing awkward or ridiculous that Booker T won't somehow seize upon and draw attention to. And they come back from the commercial break, and there's Booker T going, this Miz, what a great year he's had. He is showing great fighting spirit in there in a two-on-one situation. Booker, man, or Miz, what a fight he's putting up. And Cole's like, yeah, yes, he is, Booker. And Corey Graves runs with it and says he's had a great year. I mean, it was awkward. Yeah.
I love Booker T on commentary. David Otunga, they should send David Otunga straight to the legal department after he gets done with the movie and just keep Booker where he is. I mean, geez, you know, he's entertaining for me. He's entertaining for Wade. I mean, it's sports entertainment. Hello.
Yes, but Booker is also awful for business in a lot of respects. So as entertaining as he is, he's entertaining in the wrong way.
Mm. Well, I would also argue that maybe David Otunga is entertaining in the wrong way. No.
I totally disagree. David Otunga, he gets heat for this, but he got heat for being bad at the beginning because he didn't say much, but he was doing a good job representing baby faces. He didn't step on the toes of trying to portray the baby faces of the heroes and the heels as cheaters and bad guys. He decried that. I mean, David Otunga was in a sense, following the model that I push for. And Booker T either says non sequitur gibberish or says something that's completely counterproductive to getting heat on the heels and framing the baby faces as heroes. I mean, Booker, it's more fun to make quips about, but Otunga was way more following what a babyface color commentator should do. I mean, I think he got it more than anybody on color commentary in a long time.
Well, I think the good part about Otunga is that if he's on Raw, he won't get steamrolled by JBL. You know, Corey Graves is not going to steamroll him like JBL did.
I'm actually looking forward to that, seeing what the chemistry is with Otunga and Graves. That's a good point, Pat. Yeah, Jason, go ahead.
A couple of more points. You know, one thing that I hate that the commentators say, they'll describing Finn Balor, they'll say, oh, this kid. They still say it with AJ Styles. Now, Stone Cold, when he was kicking Vince McMahon's ass, he was younger than Balor and AJ Styles, and they never referred to him as a kid. They never referred to The Rock as a kid. I just think, I know they're trying to put over that they're young and they got a lot of years ahead of them, but I just think when you hear, oh, this kid, it sort of takes away from them being a man. I just don't like it when they say that. Another thing is, am I the only one who hears when Bray Wyatt talks and cuts a promo? In the back of my mind, I'm just saying to myself, sure you are, Bray. Yeah, sure, that's what you're going to do.
Yes.
The effect that he has had, he's got no effect anymore. I mean, that character, he's talked about doing all these things, and he doesn't do any of them. He needs a complete reboot as a babyface or something, but he's the effect that he has on his words have completely diminished.
Jason, I've made that comment. I've said it here on the show and written it, said it on Twitter. The comeback is, well, you know, Undertaker said a lot of things that weren't taken, that weren't literally done, and it kind of worked for his character. What's your response to that? Why are people forgiving of Undertaker and it works for him? But with Bray, because I agree with you, Bray, every time Bray says something, you're like, that's not going to happen. Or that's not even a thing. Like, Randy, you're going to devour your own soul. Nobody's listening to that going, oh, God, I'm so scared for Randy. They're saying, that's not a thing. It's not going to happen. And you took me out of the moment. But go ahead, Jason. Yeah, go ahead, Jason. Oh, Jason's call dropped. Well, I'll look for him to come back on. Pat, your thoughts. Yep.
Well, I think the difference here is because Undertaker would actually win most of his feuds and occasionally there would be a casket match where he would put the other guy in a casket or sometimes in a body bag or sometimes in a hearse. Bray Wyatt, what he says is incoherent, and up until Elimination Chamber, he never won a big match. And when he did, he didn't actually, he rarely got into the mind of big top baby faces, and I think Xavier Woods was the only guy who really got freaked out by him. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, Jason, I propose that question to you first. What's the difference between Undertaker and Bray? Pat just gave his view.
Yeah, sorry about that. My phone got cut off. Maybe that was Bray actually listening to what I was saying.
The next caller who says something bad about my promos is going to devour his own soul.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, I caught the tail end of what Pat was saying, and that was going to be my comeback. It's not necessarily what he's saying per se. It's the fact is he doesn't win any feuds. I think the only feud that I can remember him winning out of 3 to 4 years was against Dean Ambrose. Because when they had that ambulance match, and actually Bray won that. That was the payoff. But I can't think of anyone else that he's beaten. I don't even think he's won a match at WrestleMania. So he doesn't have the wins to back up what he's saying. And I think a lot of fans pick up on that. And
that
just one more
counts.
Thing before I go, guys.
Even if people aren't like tracking the wins and losses like you do for your favorite sports team, that there's just that sense of he's a loser. You know, that just follows him around because he doesn't follow up on his words, literally or more symbolically even. Yeah, go ahead.
No, you're exactly right. Of course, most fans aren't there ticking off wins and losses, but they know that whenever Bray Wyatt has a big match or is involved in a big feud, he never comes out on the winning end. So it's just all talk for him, which is not his fault. It's just the booking of him. With this whole Cruiserweight division, to me, it's just not happening, whether it's the purple ropes or whatever. But I see a guy like Austin Aries, right? See, I think if he wasn't in the Cruiserweight division, I could see, say the Miz was to defeat Dean Ambrose for the IC title, I could see like a great feud for the IC title with Austin Aries versus the Miz. Both guys can talk well. It would emphasize the Miz's size over Austin Aries. So you'd have a situation where actually the Miz's size would be emphasized because you don't often see that. And I just think it would be a great feud. I just don't see, I think, like you say, Wade, Austin Aries carries himself larger than the Cruiserweight. I just think this whole Cruiserweight division, to me, it's trying to pick up steam, but it's just not. So do you either look at it and say, listen, we've got to do something about this and just put an end to it, pretty much like the SmackDown tag division, or do you persist with it? What's your opinion on that?
I think you persist with it because I think it had one thing went wrong that was in their control to an extent, which is they didn't have the just state-of-the-art, top-of-the-line cruiserweights from the tournament become full-time wrestlers. So they didn't have that just breakout star who was doing moves that the heavyweights weren't doing. So that hurt. But number two, it's a whole new division. And they didn't have an anchor on the main roster who said, I'm going to switch until Neville came around. But Neville wasn't a main event attraction before he went to Cruiserweight. So that hurt. He was, you know, definitely not a top-tier guy. So they're lacking that established star. Like if Rey Mysterio at the peak of his popularity and they established a Cruiserweight division, and Rey's like, yeah, this is, I want to wrestle these guys. This is my style. Bring it on. That would have worked. So I don't think because it hasn't worked in the first handful of months that then you say, well, it can't work. I think that it gives them some cheap exclusive programming for the network. I don't think it's breaking the budget from a talent expense standpoint. And I'd say stay the course. Don't give up and hope that over time, because you've tried to establish everybody at once. It's like a whole new promotion starting up and nobody knows anybody, or, you know, only ardent fans know some of them. So I say stick with it. They made some mistakes. I'm with you. Get rid of the purple ropes. I think one thing they could do is have some of the cruiserweight wrestlers on Raw get into it, get in the mix with some of the heavyweights where there's a tag match. So like you say, Austin Aries, there's no reason he can't work against a feud with, say, the Miz. So do it. Have him leave the... Miz can't fight for the Cruiserweight title. He's not 205 or under, but he can feud with Aries. So give Aries a win over Miz in a high-profile feud where they go back and forth, and then have Aries go back to the Cruiserweight division with the credibility of being in there and winning a feud and going back and forth with a hot heel like Miz. So, or you can do tag matches where it's a Cruiserweight and a non-Cruiserweight against a couple other guys. So I say cross-pollinate a little bit, give it some more time, and ideally look for somebody out there that becomes available, who can do something special in the ring that really stands out, who also has a personality to go along with it. And that combination of things, I think, ultimately makes it worth sticking with the division, because I think there's some tweaks they can do. Purple ropes, yeah, get rid of them. In part because when they put the purple ropes up, that's a signal for fans, and we've had multiple callers call up. When that happens at the TV, at Raw, that's when fans get up and go to the bathroom because they know I'm not going to miss the biggest star that I came here to see. And they won't take that risk normally, but here they're willing to. So, yeah, a lot of things about it are backfiring, but I think a lot of them are fixable, and some of it is just going to take some time, Jason.
Yeah, I guess another point is that I don't think anyone cares about the actual Cruiserweight title. There's no lineage to it with the WWE. I mean, the last guy to hold it before it got introduced was Hornswoggle, for crying out loud. I mean, maybe if you would have taken the IC title and say, we're going to brand this, we're going to call it the Intercontinental Championship, but make it for guys that are 205 and under, at least the IC title has some stature to it, has some name recognition. A lot of fans have a soft spot for that. They may have gotten behind it. And the other point I go to, and it's been raised before and by you and Todd Martin, and I can't escape this, there are too many guys in the heavyweight division who are doing moves that are just as impressive as the Cruiserweights. Kevin Owens doing his moonsault, doing the frog splash. Seth Rollins, you know, Finn Balor. It's not like back in WCW where your main event guys were sticking to their basic moves and the Cruiserweights had something to show for it. I think that is a major sticking point. Too many heavyweights are doing those good moves, like you said about Luke Harper. So if these guys can do it, then why should I pay attention to the Cruiserweights? I think there's a big issue.
Pat, anything to add to this talk?
I suspect that if they think that Austin Aries is ready to feud with The Miz or somebody on the main roster, they'll just bring him up and move somebody else into the Cruiserweight division. That's my guess. And Yeah, I mean, it is a problem when the cruiserweights aren't doing anything that's more impressive than what the regular guys are doing. I think at least part of that is by design, though. I don't think that they want to sell the cruiserweight action is actually, they don't want the cruiserweight action to actually be more exciting than what you see on Raw and SmackDown.
Yeah,
I mean, they'll say they do, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think one of the keys with Aries and Miz in that example is you don't want to make it seem like Aries got promoted to the main roster. You want to make it seem like Aries is a cruiserweight who happens to be feuding with Miz, and when he's done with Miz, it's not a demotion to then feud with Neville or whomever on the cruiserweight side. I think it would defeat the purpose if you – I mean, you're right, they might do it, Pat, but I think it defeats the purpose of my of why – use that as an illustrative point. It defeats that purpose if you have Aries seem like he got promoted and never goes back. You can't treat the 205 division as NXT. It has to be something where that's where stars go to take on other stars of their ilk.
Well, the problem is that they treat the cruiserweights on Raw as if 205 Live has bought time during Raw and they have to put this match on.
Yes, they kind of do. I agree, yeah. All right, Jason, anything else for us?
No, that's it, guys. I'll let you get to other callers. Thanks for that.
Thanks so much. Appreciate the conversation. All right, we'll go to our perhaps our last break, and we'll take some more calls. 515-605-9345. I'm Wade Keller, joined by Pat McNeil from Pro Wrestling Torch.
Do you love Pro Wrestling Torch? Then we've got another show just for you, Ring Rust Radio.
Ring Rust Radio breaks down the hottest topics and news from around the wrestling world, including WWE Raw, SmackDown, and pay-per-views, TNA, Lucha Underground, New Japan, and indie wrestling. Add in interviews with the biggest names in the industry, like Stone Cold Steve Austin, Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, Paul Heyman, Kurt Angle, and many more. And Ring Rust Radio has something for everyone.
Check out the show on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Interact with us on Twitter at Ring Rust Radio and email us at ringrustradio@yahoo.com.
We are here 5 days a week and sometimes six. Sunday night after Payback, Pat McNeil and Greg Parks will be hosting a post-WWE Payback call-in show. As soon as the pay-per-view goes off the air, they're on the air. PW Torch Livecast, the name of our show, pwtorchlivecast.com, is where you go to stream the show live right after the pay-per-view ends. This Thursday, Andrew Socek and Mike McMahon will be hosting the post-Impact program. So if you watch Impact on Pop TV, be sure to check out Mike and Andrew discussing the show. As soon as Impact goes off the air on Pop TV, they're on the air at pwtorchlivecast.com. All right, I think we have a caller from Kansas City. Hayden, were you in the building tonight?
Yes, I was, Wade. Good to talk to you guys. Sorry, my voice sounds a little thrown out. I was one of the few people actually making noise tonight.
We didn't talk about the crowd much. Yeah. Tell us about the live experience. What did we miss?
Well, it's hard being here in Kansas City, which is one of the home of one of the most famous of all time old wrestling promotions here in the Kansas City area. Guys, where Razor Ramon and Shawn Michaels got their start here, and it's interesting seeing just the development of how different the crowds were from back then to now. I wasn't around back in those days, but my father was, and it's Sprint Center itself is not exactly set up for great crowd noise. If you've ever been inside it, it's a bit bigger than most of the other places that WWE likes to send their shows at. The Sprint Center can hold up to 50-plus thousand people, and they have to cut off over half the stadium at the top of it, and especially the ones around the back, in order for them to make it look like they've sold the whole thing out. And so that's the situation there.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to finish up on that. The crowd noise itself tonight felt a little, gosh, it go into a city like Kansas City, you expect, you don't expect a whole lot, but even tonight it just seemed a little even more worse for wear than even usual. The Raws in Kansas City for the past couple of years have generally had some really interesting things happen on it. I remember the Raw in Kansas City 2 years ago, Mick Foley came out before Hell in a Cell, and that popped the crowd huge because no one expected him to be there. The Raw last year wasn't much to talk about, but then there was the one Raw a couple, even 3 years back. There was a nice big reaction there for a big moment. So a lot of fans come to expect that moment. There wasn't that tonight, and so they honestly just felt dead the whole time. It's a very, very much a crowd that WWE has come to be known for these past several years now.
We'll talk about the reaction of Braun Strowman and how that played off of the music the music video, the video package on Roman Reigns, and how the crowds reacted to each of them.
The reaction for Braun was a genuine reaction. It wasn't a whole lot of tears. There wasn't a whole lot of boos. It was just more of an inflection of just energy. You know, it's hard to kind of explain it. There was some cheers around the building for Braun, there was also no, I really couldn't hear any boos. There was just a lot of people just like, oh, here comes Braun. And in relation to what it did for Roman, I was stuck up in a section that was rather surrounded by families, and there was quite a few little kids cheering for Roman when they saw him on the video package. And there was a couple very vocal gentlemen down below me, a few low rows, who would not stop booing any situation where Roman's picture showed up, Roman's name was mentioned, any situation. And I had to I was joining them in that, but they were like, they had obviously had a couple drinks, so they were a little bit louder than I was. Otherwise, it was a pretty tame reaction. I had a feeling that it just felt like it was a lot of rehashing of what they did before Fastlane, and it just didn't feel like the whole crowd was super excited for the whole situation.
Was there anyone over who you didn't expect to be over, and anybody who got a much smaller reaction than you would have anticipated?
No one didn't get a smaller reaction than I anticipated, but Kalisto, especially in my section of the crowd, got a really huge reaction from the young children and guys like that, families and things like that, when he went over Braun Strowman. Seeing Kalisto do that got a really, really big pop from the children nearby me, and I was surprised, but then I also wasn't surprised, because I know of a lot of young children in, you know, locally and just things like that, who are into wrestling, and they love Kalisto. They find him, he feels to them like the Rey Mysterio with that when I was younger. I didn't quite feel the connection, but it was definitely a larger reaction than I expected.
Yeah, I think, you know, you wonder with the whole bullying saga, if there wasn't a feeling of Braun toss Kalisto in the dumpster. Let's have Kalisto fight back and get some revenge by getting a win. But, of course, you know, have Braun get his heat back afterwards. I could have totally seen them booking this 6 months ago. You know, I mean, that's just sort of the way Vince might work. But Kalisto, I mean, I've been at house shows where, I mean, it's just you don't even know there's kids there. And then all of a sudden Lucha, you know, the whole Lucha thing, and all these kids stand up and they're going nuts. And you're like, wow, you know, the kids connect with Kalisto. So I think WWE kind of wanted to protect him a bit tonight, too, with what they did with him, even if in the end, obviously, they got a lot of sympathy on him for the way that he got thrown off the dumpster with the strap on top.
I agree. I really like Kalisto. I find him a very talented wrestler. I want to be more connected with him. I want to be more invested in his character. It's just they haven't done a whole lot with him, and a lot of the feuds he's been tossed into have really led to very little or close to nothing. And so I'm happy for him. Once again, I know Braun got his heat in the end with this situation, but it just feels it's that typical WWE 50-50 booking, and I just don't know how well this will play off with Braun down the line.
Well, let me give Pat a chance. Pat, do you have anything you want to ask Kaden, who was there in person tonight? Do I have Pat muted? Sorry, Pat. Let me try to jump up. I thought Pat, you're being such a good listener. I was like, you're doing. Oh, they're up there. Sorry, mic's turned off. I got to do that once a show, Pat. Any thoughts on? Or questions for Hayden?
I was going to ask what the reaction was to the purple ropes match.
Oh, it was a lot like the caller was mentioning from Australia. It's really disappointing because as someone who I watched WCW in the 90s because of the cruiserweight division. I love cruiserweight wrestling. But it's just not there. And there's a lot of combination of things going on. And in my opinion, the biggest thing that stands out to me is there is one wrestler that was in the Cruiserweight Classic, to me, that stood out the most in all of the matches that everyone talks about, you know, that were the big money-making matches and the matches that everyone got invested in. And that one person's name is Kota Ibushi, and he is not there.
Yeah.
And when a lot of people look at it's kind of like what was mentioned before. There's a lot of heavyweight wrestlers and guys involved in the heavyweight scene and the normal scene. Guys like Seth Rollins who can do 450, who can do Phoenix splashes off the middle rope. Guys like Austin Aries and others who've done 450 splashes, and Sami Zayn who does a tope every single match he's in. Guys like that, they do and perform moves that a lot of cruiserweight guys, especially the cruiserweight guys that we have right now, do as well. There's a lot of them who take their own versions and their own styles of it. Like, there's a lot of interesting variations in how they tried to make it their own, but in general, it's the same move. Whereas if you go back and watch what Kota Ibushi did with Cedric Alexander and Brian Kendrick, and you watch some of the things he did where he did the springboard moonsault off the second rope after in the opposite direction of the corner he was standing on. Those were the situations where there was a lot of cruiserweight action moves that only guys like he could do. And there's just, in terms of the Cruiserweight Classic, guys like him, he was alone and standing out in that way. The other character who was there, who was in a lot of the good matches, is Zack Sabre Jr., who, again, is not with WWE under contract. So a lot of the big reactions during the Cruiserweight Classic were for those two men's matches. And those two men are not involved in the Cruiserweight division.
Yeah, and WWE wanted them both, but they, you know, for whatever reason, maybe they were part on money, or they didn't want to have their schedule controlled full time by WWE. They did. I mean, neither of them signed.
Yeah. Well, Pat, who's the best single signing that WWE could do, regardless of any contracts or realistically speaking, active 205 or under guy?
You know, Kota Ibushi, but he's kind of busy right now.
Regardless of that, I mean, like, is he the guy who would make the big difference?
He would if they booked him the right way. But I mean, they could be doing, Grand Metalik is very good. They could be doing more with him. Aries is Aries. I'm not gonna complain about him. Rich Swann is very talented, but he's more known for his dancing right now than anything else. Ricochet, but he's also very busy overseas.
All right. Anything else, Hayden, from being in the venue tonight that we should know about?
Not a whole lot. There is not a whole lot to write home about this show, especially with it being a go-home show for a pay-per-view. I was really disappointed in the fact of what was, like, the reaction from the crowds were really, really muted. And being someone who is so passionate about the business and watches it shows and goes to the local indie show, the local indie shows here with the local crowds, and being that invested in the industry, it's difficult going to a place like the Sprint Center, which can fit so many people, and see it cut down for the crowd, have it filled with mostly young children and families who are not super invested in the product themselves. And I'm not putting down that, because I know a lot of families who are also very invested in it, but they just didn't seem invested. And just the way that the matches went off, there was nothing special about tonight, and it just felt a little flat.
Hayden, was there a dark match?
Actually, I had to get out of this, or I actually didn't know if there was a dark match, because I had to get home. I would have, if I would have known, I would have stayed for it, but I don't know for sure.
Yeah, you think they would let you guys know, unless maybe there's local advertising or something. But if they want people to stay in their seat, they'll usually tell, you know, say, stay tuned for, although they care more in SmackDown when they're trying to keep people around for 205 Live. So anyway, Hayden, appreciate it. Appreciate the in-person report.
Thank you very much, Wade.
Yeah, you bet. Hopefully I'll talk to you again. All right, 256, you're on deck. Let's sneak in one more commercial when we come back. Pat McNeil and I will wrap it up. If you want to try to sneak in with a late call, 515-605-9345. A low wait time deep in the show here, so this is your chance to get on right away.
When you're looking to tune in live to the PW Torch Livecast, find out about the next episode, or just catch up on an episode you missed, go to our new website, pwtorchlivecast.com. You can select shows by specific day, specific host, and format, including a grid of our latest interviews and best of selections on the homepage. That is pwtorchlivecast.com, where you can stream our show live and listen to past shows on demand. That's pwtorchlivecast.com.
All right, we're back. 256, you are up next. Please state your name and the city you're calling from.
Daniel, Muscle Shoals, Alabama.
Daniel from where in Alabama?
Muscle Shoals.
Yeah.
Yes.
Excellent, thanks. Go ahead. What do you got for us?
Just noticing, thinking about Bray Wyatt and all the family members he's had, I feel like WWE has done a very poor job with that. And I know that we discussed it a little bit tonight, but if you look at Harper and if you look at Rowan and you look at Strowman, you have three absolute monsters that back in the 80s they would have done so much with. And it's almost like to a point now where you have to put Harper and Rowan under a hood and tag them together for them to even get over with the crowd, because they're stuck in the they're stuck underneath Bray. And then you have Strowman, who they are trying to set up as a monster, so they do it. And I know they're doing it to build Roman, but they're doing it by putting it up against the person that the crowd genuinely hates. And so now they're cheering a monster that they're trying to draw heat on because of the genuine hate that everybody has for Roman. And then the last two matches that's been, you know, with Strowman, he has went to a no contest because the ring went down. And of course that's a big pop and everybody likes it, but you know, he stands up like he won the match or did anything to, you know, to contribute to that. And then you have him losing tonight to Kalisto. And, you know, the whole match, I'm sitting there thinking, Kalisto's going to win this, because it just did not look like the Strowman squash matches that he is, you know, accustomed to. And then it comes up with just something really cheap like that. And then the whole dumpster thing I thought was just really a dumpster fire. I mean, it was awful. And then you've got Bray Wyatt, who, as you discussed earlier, will not win a feud. And every person that they put with Bray that is not part of the Wyatt family only stays with him for a limited amount of time, whether it be Daniel Bryan or Randy Orton. And nobody believes that anybody's going to go with Bray and stay with Bray. So just my question is, how do they take those three monsters, or four monsters if you want to, and actually make them monster-ish again?
Pat?
Well, they defined Eric Rowan down as a jobber. I mean, I know he's supposed to be in a big match tomorrow on SmackDown, the no DQ match against Randy Orton, but I think we all know how that's going to end.
Right.
Harper, they've actually tried doing something with him. And, you know, there's real potential there. I'm hoping that he breaks out, because he, you know, he had a character before he arrived in WWE, and it's different from generic, you know, Wyatt family stooge. You know, Braun, I thought, was doing great at drawing heel heat, tonight, until he mentioned Roman Reigns' name, that he was going to beat up Roman Reigns, and then everybody cheered. So, I mean, it's not anything wrong with what Braun Strowman's doing. I don't know that it's necessarily anything wrong with Rowan or Harper. At some point, though, you know, you would think that they would remember that they have all these big, tall guys on the roster, and maybe find something else for them to do.
And I'll say, as far as Braun goes, he was initially pushed to help get Roman over. If the goal was to get Braun over as a monster heel, then Roman would be a bad choice for his opponent right now. But it just so happens that it's working against Braun getting over as a heel. But the goal was, what heel can we put against Roman that will lead to Roman getting fewer boos and more cheers? And it hasn't worked when he's been against popular, athletic, indie cred heels. So we'll try him against a homegrown monster. Pat, do you think Braun and Bray cross paths and acknowledge their past?
They could certainly have them do that at the pay-per-view. And I think they sort of teased that a couple of months ago. But, at the Rumble, they could do that, but I don't think anything's going to come of it. I mean, I would be very surprised if they put Braun and Bray together for any length of time.
All right. Anything else, Daniel?
Yeah, one other character development. What are they trying to do with Curt Hawkins? I mean, they're not even making him the lovable Barry Horowitz. I mean, he is super annoying, and they're bringing out people, and then after somebody comes in and gets a squash match with him, they're not getting pushed any more than they were before. So is it just filler?
I'm getting a kick. Well, it's totally filler. I'm getting a kick out of it, though. I mean, it gives you a chance to have some baby faces get a squash win. I think it's good for Apollo Crews to show off his moveset, get a clean win. I think people take more satisfaction in Apollo Crews beating up Curt Hawkins, who loses and then brags that he's a star maker because he's so oblivious. I mean, I kind of like it. Pat, is it working for you more than it is for Daniel?
I don't know. I mean, it fills a segment on the show, which is, again, a very big priority with them. I think that's what they see Curt Hawkins as right now. They see him as the low level guy, the guy who's going to be in the second match on the house show.
Wait, I'm afraid that one day you're going to get on here and you're going to say that Curt Hawkins has turned into Josh Matthews from Impact. Just the annoying. It was funny at first, but now I cannot stand it anymore.
Well, I will say on the Bruce Mitchell,
I have some bad news. Yeah,
on the Bruce Mitchell audio show this weekend for VIP members, Bruce wanted me to name somebody who I thought could sell as much merchandise if he got Roman Reigns' babyface push. And he's like, give me a name. And I'm like, almost anybody, if they got the push Roman's getting with the music videos and the cool, you know, not exactly the best, but, you know, being marketed to kids, and he gets to do these cool moves over and over, and he's pushed against everybody. So I said, Curt Hawkins. And Bruce said, now you're just being a dick. So that's what I got for that suggestion.
Very nice.
Daniel, I got to ask you a question, being from Alabama. Before you go, is S-Town, is that S-Town series, the podcast, getting, like, a lot of talk in Alabama? Or not really?
No, not really. Not. Okay. I'm in Northwest Alabama, and I'm getting nothing out of it. In fact, I have no idea what you're even talking about.
Well, that answers my question.
Podcast. So
it's a public radio series. It's kind of like Making a Murderer was on Netflix and Serial last year, and so it's kind of got some buzz. And I was curious. Yeah.
I will say this: when it comes to Alabama, I've been here most of my life. Most everybody around the country that thinks Alabama is a certain way, they're typically wrong, or they think that Alabama is interested in certain things, and they're usually completely wrong. So
what's the biggest misconception? What's the biggest misconception about Alabama?
Probably uneducated, backdoors, believe in the kayfabe of wrestling, only worried about football. Just things like that.
Sure. Okay. Interesting.
So
you're saying that they get Alabama confused with Mississippi, is what you're saying?
That's exactly right. Listen, Alabama's number one thing is, thank God there's Mississippi. We're not 50 and nothing.
Okay.
We may be 49 in a lot, but we're not 50.
Thanks a lot, Daniel. Appreciate it. Call again.
All right. Thank you. All right. Bye-bye.
Awesome. All right. Danny in Long Island, you've been on hold forever. Thank you. You're up next.
Good evening, Wade and Pat. How are you guys doing?
Doing good. Thanks for holding. What's on your mind?
If I was to give a rating for the show, I would give it a C+, mainly because just the feeling of not having a title on the show is just weird to me. I just don't like the part-time aspect. You know, Payback doesn't really feel special to me. I don't really feel like there's an incentive for me to watch it. And the other thing I have is, do you think there's backstage heat with Enzo, or is it just character development with him that there seems to be a pushback with him?
First, I don't know that I would say tonight was indicative of there being heat on him. I think when you're the smaller guy in a tag team and you're trying to put heat on heels and you get beat down, I mean, that Ricky Morton built a career on that, and Ricky didn't have heat on him. You know, so I wouldn't put it that way. Now, are they high on Enzo, or do they see him as a bit of a one-note gimmick? I think they see him as a one-note gimmick with a pretty low ceiling right now, and that he's just kind of hanging out until they can cast gets enough experience to be a single star. But I wouldn't say Pat tonight made me think they're down on Enzo. When you're the small guy in that situation, you get beat down. That's almost a badge of honor.
Yeah, I mean they see him as a talker. I think that when they decide to break up him and Cass, they can maybe make Enzo a heel manager if they still do that, or somebody who trash talks for one of the big heels and he'd be effective there. So I don't think they hate him. Now, I could be completely wrong about that, but yeah. And I'm really upset with the WWE 24 special that they did because that special actually made me like Enzo Amore, and that was that was unfortunate.
Yeah, definitely. And the other thing I had was the new Seth Rollins finisher.
Yeah.
I wanted to get your take on that because I like the whole him setting up for the pedigree and not going for the pedigree. But when I saw the finisher and I saw that it was a knee strike, I was like, oh, okay, we're just going to go strong style, hard style again.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's Mr. Wrestling 2's not using it, so why not? I suppose his finisher, if you're going for something spectacular, it would be the flying knee from the top rope to the side of the head. But I can understand why they don't want to do that every match.
Yeah, that's all I have, and I appreciate you taking my call.
Sure, thanks, Danny. Yeah, and I don't know that that's a move that necessarily has to hurt people. I'm glad he's not bumping on his knees. You know, the pedigree involves that, too. I mean, I think it's good symbolically for him to abandon the Triple H move. I hope that mentioning Triple H and saying, oh, that was a message to Hunter, isn't a sign that we're going to get some sort of Seth-Hunter rematch, because I think the best thing for Seth is to completely move away from being associated with Stephanie and Hunter, because he, frankly, as a babyface, did not look good. I mean, he came across as, please keep me in your camp. Why are you rejecting me? Why do you like Kevin Owens better? And we're supposed to cheer that. I mean, I think there's some bad memories associated with that rush turn because of the Balor injury and how poorly it was done. So just let this be the break point, and let's not hear about Seth and Hunter and Steph in the same sentence indefinitely. Now, at some point, you know, do you try to make some issue of things maybe because of the, you know, Steph bump, but hopefully not. All right, well, let's try to sneak in at least one more call here. 312, you are up next. Go ahead and state your name and where you're calling from.
This is Sean.
Yeah, what city?
Chicago, Illinois. Chicago,
oh, cool.
Illinois.
Sorry about your Blackhawks.
I live in Chicago, California, though.
Well, not really, but...
Yeah, the thing about hockey is I like all the teams, so if Minnesota does well, I'm fine with that, too.
Well, that's a good way to follow sports. Yeah, just you're happy for whoever. Yeah. I'll give that my shot the rest of the playoffs.
Yeah, I know you like the Wild, so, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, they're a good team. Unlike other sports, you can have a team upset someone and it's okay, you know. That's not happening in basketball, so.
I know. You know. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. What's on your mind about Golden
State, Debbie? Bailey's just not doing it for me anymore. I really liked Bailey and Sasha, but I don't like the way they have Sasha stick up for her all the time. It just destroys her character. I mean, once or twice was okay, but now Bailey just looks bad. And her promos are so formulaic. It's kind of like listening to Randy Orton. You know, it just gets boring after a while. And I never thought I'd say that because I loved her character. But same thing with Apollo Crews. He came out and he had zero pop. I mean, it deflated me even. You know, I'm watching, I'm like, okay, maybe this would be okay. But I cared more about Curtis Hawkins being out there because I was excited to see who he'd make a star out of the Star Factory, you know?
Yeah. Apollo Crews has to earn some cheers. He's got to break out of just the smiling, shrugging guy who's a better athlete than you would imagine. He's the best pure athlete in WWE because he's black and we don't know what his gimmick is. So we're going to call him the best pure athlete in WWE. Yeah, they need to do more with him. I mean, the Titus thing's kind of cute, but it's kind of lower card. So, yeah, I mean, Apollo's got to earn it. But on the Bayley thing, let me throw it a pat on that. Bayley, I mean, we talk about this semi-regularly with her. The whole multiple chapters were missed with her. She acts like she belongs. And I think what people who are attending Raw and didn't watch NXT missed out on is that endearing, I'm not sure if I belong, Bayley, where the fans believed in her more than she did. And now she kind of comes out and she's dancing like, hey, I earned this spot. I'm good. And I think that works against her. I think it's a more of a fine line with her being an endearing, likable character than I think most people imagine. And I think it's a mix of her body language and the booking, and then just the challenge of trying to meld the NXT world with the main roster.
Well, I mean, she should definitely be acting like she belongs because she's the champion. I mean, you can't really pull that gimmick anymore after she wins the title.
Well, yeah. Right, although you could, I mean, I guess you could. I mean, you could have her be like, I can't believe I have this championship. I'm not better than these people. I'm new to this. And have her just be the unlikely champion. But if you're going to give her a title and you have her act like she belongs, it undercuts the gimmick. So the solution might be, Pat, don't give her the title. Maybe
or she needs a different gimmick. I mean, that's, you know, those are your choices.
Yeah. Sean, anything else?
Yeah, I think they rushed her, to be honest. But I think they're still going to do a change with that Universal title. I think Vince wants that WWE title back on Raw, and I think they're going to give it to Braun. But Braun is such a menace on Raw. You can kind of see it. They kind of laid the seeds, the foundation where Kurt may trade him or get rid of him to SmackDown, but he has a title shot, and he ends up over there. I think they might stretch out, and this would be terrible, but I think they'll stretch out Bray and Orton just to kind of move things to where the title switches at the same time.
Yeah.
Right. Thanks, Sean. You've depressed us.
That would be terrible. He's right.
Yeah.
It would be terrible, but I don't think he wants that belt. I think Vince wants that Universal title on SmackDown where it makes more sense, and the world title on Raw, and I think you got to have Bray. That sets up a Bray Wyatt Bullet Club, if you want to go that way, because they already set up Finn Balor to get the title later, and it sounds like Bray's going to go for him as soon as Balor gets it. That's his big feud, and I think they're going to turn Anderson and Gallows, and then you get your Bullet Club right there. So,
yeah, I'm not holding my breath.
Right, me neither, but I'm hoping. Right.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks very much. All right, I got to run. VIP members, I'll record my full rundown of Raw with my thoughts on all the big things and little things on tonight's episode. So if you're a VIP member, stay tuned for that later tonight. My evening is not over yet, but I appreciate everybody joining us today for the podcast. Pat, thank you very much. Pleasure as always.
Pleasure's mine, Wade. We'll see everybody on Sunday night after Payback.
Absolutely. So Pat McNeil, Greg Park, Sunday night. Right here, same channel, slightly different time, depending on when the pay-per-view ends. And we'll talk to you then. Yes, there we go. All right, thank you. So I mentioned VIP. Go VIP. Here's some details on how you can become a VIP member. If you're a fan of the PW Torch livecast, you might want to consider a PW Torch VIP membership. When you do that, you get access to an exclusive RSS feed of not only ad-free, plug-free versions of every single PW Torch livecast, but also over 50 other VIP exclusive podcasts per month, including the Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline. I also host three other flagship VIP exclusive podcasts: The Midweek Fix with Todd Martin, The Weekend Bruce Mitchell Audio Show, each about 2 hours in length, and the post pay-per-view roundtables with the 1 hour analysis of every WWE pay-per-view and some other ones too. Also, ad-free access to PWTorchVIP.com.
and that is mobile-friendly and PC and desktop-friendly, and also access to almost three decades of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter, dating back to the late 1980s, over 1,400 back issues, with my pay-per-view reports on every single pay-per-view match since the late 1980s, with star ratings and match descriptions, roundtable reviews from the staff on every pay-per-view, cover stories on the biggest story every single week in pro wrestling, march through them as a VIP member one week at a time, read our exclusive Torch Talks with pro wrestling's biggest names, hard-hitting editorials, backstage tidbits you will not hear anywhere else, and much more. It's all available. Check out details at pwtorch.com/govip. That's pwtorch.com/govip. Exclusive podcasts, exclusive new newsletters every week, ad-free access to our website, and access to 28-plus years of archives. It's all waiting for you if you go VIP. Find out more details, a checklist of all the benefits of being a VIP member, along with testimonials from current members and a sign-up form that's mobile-friendly. It takes about 90 seconds to sign up. Go check it out today, pwtorch.com/govip. Thanks also to Blue Apron for sponsoring the show this week, and thanks to all of our sponsors, and thanks to our listeners. Thanks to Pat McNeil. I got a busy week in front of us. Jason Powell joins me Wednesday for the midweek flagship at 1 Eastern, so join us live if you can or on demand later. And then Thursday, Mick Karsh. It's always a great conversation with him. Do not miss this episode with Mick. You will learn and you will laugh and enjoy the conversation and his insights and his anecdotes and experiences. So check that out this coming Thursday and Thursday night, the Post-Impact Show. And then Friday, Bruce Mitchell and Rich Fan. They just do a great job together on Friday nights. Rich is tremendous with Bruce. And if you missed their show last Friday, be sure to check that out. Subscribe to our show on iTunes or Stitcher or anywhere that you listen to podcasts, Beyond Pod on Android, anything, anywhere that there's podcasts, you can subscribe to the live cast. And when you do, if you enjoy what we do here, give us a 5-star rating and leave some kind comments about the show that might let other people know what it is about this show that draws you to listen to it compared to other options that are out there. Give us a nice review, and we'd appreciate your taking a few minutes out to do that. All right. Follow me on Twitter at The Wade Keller. Follow our brand at PW Torch and at MMA Torch. And don't forget, you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/PW Torch. And I'll end just with a reminder. I'm really proud of PWPodcast.com. We've got a great group of volunteers put together. There's every day, there's really compelling quotes. Cody Rhodes coming out talking about bullying and saying some surprising things about his perspective on that. Recaps of top wrestling personalities. What did they say this week? For most people, there's not enough time to listen to every wrestling personality hosted podcast, and frankly, some of them they show up because they kind of gotta fill their time, and others they've got a good guest or they've got something to say. And PW Podcast is a good way to sift through those and read summaries and get an idea of which ones are worth your time to listen to, or just read the newsworthy and provocative things that are being said by the wrestling personalities hosting podcasts. So check that out. Plus, real timely recaps of wrestler interviews and what wrestlers are saying out on the interview circuit too. So that's pwpodcasts.com. It's absolutely positively worth adding to your daily reading schedule. Bookmark it, create a tab, do whatever you got to do, and check it out every day. That does it for me for today. Thanks, everybody. And until next time, Wade Keller signing off.